this reading ends with us sitting in that fear and terror that the women experience when they go to the tomb.
This is Chapter, Verse, and Season, a lectionary podcast from Yale Bible Study. Join us each week as two Yale Divinity School professors look at an upcoming text from the Revised Common Lectionary. This is another special episode, this time for Easter Vigil. We welcome to the podcast Molly Zahn, Associate Professor of Hebrew Bible, and Teresa Morgan, McDonald Agape Professor of New Testament and Early Christianity. They're discussing Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, which is appointed for the Easter Vigil in year B. Here's the text. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed, for you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
It's such a mysterious end to a gospel, isn't it?
It sure is.
I always think it's especially appropriate to this Easter vigil because at Easter, we're celebrating the resurrection, but we're celebrating both the triumph of the resurrection and the mystery of it. And at this Easter vigil, we're kind of right on the cusp between the mystery and the triumph, which we'll celebrate on Easter Day. But tonight, or very early on Easter morning, it's the mystery that is especially important to us.
Yeah, I like how this reading sort of ends with us sitting in that fear and terror that the disciples experience, that the women experience when they go to the tomb. And for me also, as a scholar interested in textual development, it's interesting because we see that uncertainty, that discomfort, you know, actually prompted readers to expand the text of Mark. So if you look at this passage in a Bible, you'll see, you know, the text ends after verse 8, but then it says the shorter ending of Mark, and then it says the longer ending of Mark, and there's a much more sort of conventional, you know, scenes of the resurrected Christ and so forth, similar to what you find in the other Gospels. So it's that, I guess for me, the discomfort or sort of unease that we might feel at the abruptness of the reading, you know, if we feel that when we hear this reading, we're in really good company with you know, the earliest generations of readers of this Gospel passage. Who, you know, some of them had so much discomfort that they went in and made it less uncomfortable.
And it's so odd, of course, because Mark's first listeners or early readers will already have known about the resurrection experiences. They knew what they believed had happened next. And all the other Gospels give us stories of resurrection experiences, you know, embedded in what's assumed to be the original text of the Gospel. So why does Mark, effectively, Mark is taken out resurrection experiences and in the shorter ending, hasn't he? It's not that he didn't know about them. It's that he's deliberately taken them out.
Right. And, you know, Mark is sort of known for being this mysterious and enigmatic, and people talk about the messianic secret in Mark in the early chapters where Jesus doesn't want to sort of acknowledge publicly who he is. And so this is really in keeping. It is a, you know, you can argue that it's a stylistic thing. We're supposed to feel this way. It's not as you say that Mark didn't know what was going to happen. So, you know, maybe it's the message is about leaving this place for these uncomfortable feelings and the mystery and the being in between, right?
Mm-hmm. There's also a mystery about this idea of going back to Galilee, isn't there? Because if Acts is at all historical, and I think we think this is probably reasonable of Acts, Pentecost finds the disciples and Mary and probably other women in Jerusalem. So at some point they were definitely in Jerusalem, not that long after the resurrection experiences. So why the injunction to go back to Galilee? Did they, were they remembered as having gone back to Galilee? Or is it a simple, you know, then there is a story. Matthew gives us a story, a final scene of Jesus with the disciples in Galilee. So he sort of makes sense of it that way. They went back to Galilee and then presumably they went back to Jerusalem. But Mark kind of leaves it hanging. It always has a bit of a feel for me of go back to where you came from. Go back to where it all began. Go back to that place which is so full of memories, of teaching, of miracles. We can imagine that Galilee as a landscape full of people who were lame and had been cured, who were blind and can see, who had died and were raised. It's a kind of miraculous landscape, you know, and it's almost as if the disciples are being told to go back to where it all started, to where there was such conviction, such hope, and kind of touch base with their original confidence in Jesus, even before they receive any resurrection experiences. Remembering Galilee, going back to Galilee, is somehow actually reconnecting with their conviction.
Indeed, and the promise in verse 7 here, that there you will see him just as he told you, so that Galilee is also the site where they will experience the risen Christ. And yet, you know, you have this great promise and this great, you would think that the disciples would be very eager to sort of experience that and maybe, you know, go ahead and get going to Galilee. And, you know, and yet again, Mark leaves you with not that they went out and, you know, told the disciples and Peter and they headed out for Galilee, but that terror and amazement had seized them and they said nothing to anyone for they were afraid. And so Mark, you know, he doesn't tie it all up for us, right? He leaves us with the sort of fears and insecurities of those who had experienced, you know, really this first premonition of the resurrection.
Yeah, to ask ourselves maybe, how would we feel? How do we feel hearing this story? What do we do with that? As people of faith, presumably, or people who hope to have faith. Something else that always strikes me about this reading is that the women who come to the tomb are also some of, in Mark's account, the only people who actually stayed to witness the crucifixion, even at a distance. In Mark's gospel, it's women who stay at a distance and actually see Jesus, are there to the end with him. And in all the Gospels, in different ways, it is the people who were closest, stayed closest to Jesus through the crucifixion, who are the first to witness the empty tomb and or the risen Christ himself. And it reminds me of that language in Paul, you know, in a very different context, where Paul talks about in Romans the way that we have to die with Christ in order to hope to rise with Christ. And it's almost like a kind of foretaste of that. The people who were closest to Jesus in his death, in his suffering, are the first to taste the resurrection, to see the resurrection, and then in that to see the hope of their own resurrection, as Mark's listeners would understand it. So there is something kind of profound being pointed to, it seems to me, about the death and the resurrection of the disciples themselves. And in a way, of course, the resurrection of Jesus is not the only thing that's happening here. It's the resurrection of the disciples too, and all Jesus' followers, from the despair, the total confusion, the conviction that it had all gone disastrously wrong. You know, their own resurrection, their spiritual resurrection, is as important as Jesus's physical or bodily or personal resurrection in all of this.
Yes, and I mean, I think it brings us back to the liturgical setting where, you know, you started by talking about the mystery of Easter Vigil and sort of there at the end of the Triduum, where, you know, we move from the despair of Good Friday to the joy of Easter, and that structural feature that as you say is in all the Gospels, not just in Mark, but always calling us back to the importance of the trauma, the death of Jesus, the crucifixion, as a corollary. You can't just do the Easter part right without having experienced what goes before.
Thanks for listening. Please check out yalebiblestudy.org for events, study guides, videos, and plenty of other resources, including a transcript for this episode. Chapter, Verse, and Season is a production of the Center for Continuing Education at Yale Divinity School. It's produced by creator and managing editor Joel Baden, production manager Kelly Morrissey, associate producer Aidan Stoddart, and I'm your host and executive producer Helena Martin. And our theme music is by Calvin Linderman. We'll be back with another conversation from Chapter, Verse, and Season.